Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a sermon series titled, I Am. If you're interested in North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Checking out my stash of kid toys, and I found this bag of stuff. It's full of all these cool little shapes with little notches. Like you could do something with them, but right now they're just a bunch of shapes, right? You can look at them and see the way. Look at what's happening as I pick them up and try to do stuff with them. It's just a mess. It's chaos, right? When I've got this, they're pretty. They've got potential. But the way they are right now is just chaotic. However, when I bring order to them, and Allie has our champion piece of artwork there, and Finley's got one in the back. If you guys got yours, lift them up. Kenny's got hers. We made some things. What we did was we took this chaos that's in this bag, and we put order to it. And when you take things that are in chaos and put order to them, there's a beauty to it. Sometimes we don't get just beauty, we get function and purpose out of it. So chaos has potential, but it's when we put the chaos to order that real fruit gets to happen. All right, can you give a hand to the kids who, yeah. I want to talk about things in order today. God is a God of order. In 1 Corinthians, we don't have a verse for this, but in 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul is writing and he's talking to the church at Corinth and he says, God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of peace. Right? In that passage, Paul points out that God's not a God of disorder. He's a God of order. And when we move in that direction, it provides peace to who we are. It provides peace to our life. So some of you might be able to relate to things and how it makes me feel just simply because it's not orderly. Right? Sometimes when we are working on our finances and we're just kind of trying to make things go, and we run out of money before we run out of month, right? When we live in that chaotic things, it's stressful, it's hard, it's from the chaos. However, when we put some order to it, right? If I put a budget to my finances, I don't run out of money before a month because I've been planning, right? The order, the budget, the planning, it provides peace to our finances. It helps us to be able to set goals. It provides purpose. We can be intentional about what we do. We use budgets to provide order to our finances. Relationships can provide stress too, right? When things are chaotic and we're uncertain about what's going on, it weighs on us. It feels very heavy to do that. But sometimes, so maybe I'm old. Do we still use the phrase DTR? No. Okay, never mind. Old, gray hair. I'm an old dude. There is a moment, there are a series of moments when we decide that we need to define the relationship. DTR, define the relationship. Yeah. You know, and I don't need to know that I bet would be another sermon. So, but when we take a moment and define the relationship, to be able to hear what the other person's thinking and feeling, share what we're thinking and feeling, figure out where we're at, where we've been, where we want to go, put some structure behind what's going on. By talking, it provides peace to our relationships. Order is better than chaos in our finances, in our relationships. And God forbid we go a Sunday morning without talking about cheeseburgers. Anywhere I buy a Big Mac, it is the same all the time. When I buy it here in Myersville, when I buy it in Frederick, Brunswick, most of the other places that I shop at a McDonald's, pretty much anywhere in the world, I buy a Big Mac, they're going to come out the same. Right, again, I'm old, if you haven't heard this before. To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Whoa, okay. Yes, don't do that again. So, Big Mac, you can make a song out of it. When you work at a McDonald's, there's a chart, there's a picture of what it looks like and how you assemble it so that it comes out the same every time. When we're making food, we use charts to mass produce it, but we use recipes, right? We use order and recipes and charts to turn our chaotic food into something we like to eat. I want to talk about a process that God has for us. We've been talking about some random topics about fathers and whose children people are and believing. And we're going to go into, Jesus is going to add to that conversation. We're still in the same group of people. We are walking through the book of John. We are in chapter 8, and Jesus has been talking to this group of people. And today we're going to read about how Jesus mentions the word free. There's a verse in this passage that many of us who've been Christians for a while will recognize, that there is freedom available to us through our trust and faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, when you try and glean how you get there through this passage, admittedly, it's a bunch of random conversations, and it's hard to piece together how does this all work. So we're going to talk about it again at the end, but I'm going to give you a preview of this chart, that there's a place that I can be free, but before I experience that freedom, going to the bottom, I start out as a non-believer. I don't even know who Jesus is. When I make that transition from being a non-believer to a believer, I've put my trust in who Jesus is. I start to move up that ladder. So it starts with my belief, putting my faith and trust in who Jesus is. When I do that, a consequence of that is I become a child. I become a child of God. If I'm a child of God and I'm starting to live that out, there's this thing that the Bible talks about called discipleship. So I start to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And one of the fruits out of being a disciple is we get to experience that freedom. So there's just a quick picture. We will drill into that a little more. So get a picture of it. Oh, this all is connected. Say that. Oh my gosh, it's connected. Just say, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. Thanks for working with me today. Huh? So we're going to step into the passage. And as we do, start laying landmines. Oh, that's where you said this. Oh, that's where you said that. And when we get to the end, we'll connect all the dots back up. Picking it up in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples." Psst, hey, look, he used the word disciples. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Hey, he used the word free. If you're making notes, underline those. Right? Jesus is letting us know there's a connection. If you want this freedom I'm talking about, it's going to be connected to being my disciple. And he connected it to knowing the truth. Hold to my teachings. He's shooting up a flare that if you want to experience his freedom, you need to have been signed up as a disciple. And being a disciple means that I'm following his teachings. It means I'm doing something to invest in learning and following and doing the things that are part of who Jesus is and what it is that he's taught. So Jesus shoots up this flare. If you're a note taker, just mental note, maybe you want to put a little note beside the words, for those who had believed. Jesus is saying this to folks who are, remember the chart? Jesus is saying this to the folks who are already up on the number line. They are already up the chart. They already believe in him. But he says it in front of the crowd. Okay? Jesus says this in front of the crowd. And we're going to have to wrestle with the question. Jesus is saying that we can be free, but free from what? So there's freedom available to us. What is it that I need to be free from? We're going to get there. Did you jump ahead? Man. I'm going to invite the band back up. We're going to talk about the devil, and kids, I might invite you to help me out with that. Moving on, Mildred. They, if you want to take a note, put a little arrow next to they and say the crowd. I'm kind of making a point of that because as I read the commentaries and thoughts about this passage, people, different Bible scholars, are not sure who this crowd is talking to Jesus. Now, as I read down further down, it is not the people who believe in him, in my opinion. Other folks don't think that. But we're going down the path that Jesus was talking to believers. He did it in front of a crowd of people, and the crowd of folks who don't believe him are saying this stuff. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" So let's just take a little hint to give you the mindset of where these folks are, this crowd of people. We are descendants of Abraham, so they're going way back in their lineage, and they've never been slaves of anyone. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Right? That is just not a true statement. These folks were slaves of Egypt. During the Babylonian exile, they were slaves of Babylonia. Persia took over Babylon. They were under Persian rule. And then the Greeks took over. They were under Greek rule. Right now in their state where they're talking, they are under Roman rule. They have been slaves to everybody. They've been under oppression for hundreds of years. But these guys are just kind of la, 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 trying to find a way to argue with Jesus. So I want you to catch, these guys just don't have any credibility. They're not coming from a place of sense. But it's worth us realizing, for those who are in that non-believer category, they come up with things like this, trying to figure out and justify where they're standing. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Ding, 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 ding. If you want to know what it is that you're being freed from, it's being freed from being a slave to sin. If you're a note taker, that's the words you want to underline. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So just shooting some arrows into the air here. Jesus has now associated our being free to being part of the family. If I want to experience that freedom, somehow or other, I need to make sure I'm in the right family bunch. And we're going to get to who's the really behind it, but the thing I'm being freed from is my sin. And the devil plays a role in wanting me to sin. Yes, we'll get there. But I want you to keep in mind this freedom I want to enjoy, It's freedom from the sin that might, maybe right now is ruling over my life. That's the freedom that Jesus is saying is available to us. Jesus continues, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. All right, remember last week we did a sermon called Separate. This week, Jesus is pointing out there's a separation. He has been talking about family and father. He's now saying that he's got a father he's dealing with, but the folks in the crowd, they have a different father. So there's family involved, and we're going to have to struggle with the question of whose family are we part of? Romans 9:8 points out that being a physical descendant of Abraham doesn't get me to the place where I'm going to experience that freedom, where it doesn't even get me to a place where I'm going to be able to go to heaven. I'm going to have to do that through building my family through a different route. As Jesus points out the difference between his father and their father, they reply, Abraham is our father. Right, so their defense starts to roll into their biological lineage. Right, I'm connected to Abraham, so I'm okay. Right, I became a pastor late in life. My mom, she was a Catholic. As I transitioned and officially got ordained and became a pastor, out of my mom, she said, "Oh, good, I'm gonna go to heaven. My son's a priest." Give a good giggle, yes. There are people who want to buy into that. That is just not a true statement. That is not a true statement. Our biological lineage doesn't get me into heaven. It doesn't get me to a place to experience that freedom. It might influence it in a good way, but that's not the family that Jesus is talking about. Jesus replies, if you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. So Jesus is reaffirming that they've got a different father than what Jesus is pointing to. That there's a father in heaven that Jesus has, but these folks are working from a different family group. And that they can claim the lineage, but like Jesus is pointing out, it doesn't matter if you claim to be Abraham's descendants if you don't follow what it is that he was doing. If you don't believe in the same way that Abraham believed, your lineage doesn't matter. It's our faith that makes us children of the promise. God made some promises to Abraham, and just because you're his physical child, his great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter or grandson, that doesn't buy you in. You have to be a believer in what it is that Abraham believed in, and it's our belief that makes us children of the promise. That's what it says in Romans 9:8. The crowd responds, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. So you can see where these folks are. Two slides ago, it was, we're Abraham's kids. Now we're at the point of, no, God's our father. Right, they realize they're on shaky ground. They're sliding down the side of the hill, and they're shooting for what it is that they are trying to justify their actions and and decisions. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you?" The last question's rhetorical. Don't try and answer it. Jesus is going to give us the answer. But here, emphasize, if we believe, we're going to love Jesus. Relationship is involved in that chart that's going up. Relationship is involved. If I want to experience that freedom, it's going to be because I love Jesus. Jesus answers the question, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's not about our biological family. It's about whose spiritual family we are a part of. I was teaching in kids downstairs a couple of months ago, and there were a group of kids who were trying to sing worship songs and talking about worshiping Jesus. And all I kept getting back was, don't worship Satan. Yeah, can anyone want to say that for me? Don't worship Satan. There we go. Don't do that from the mouth of babes. We need to be part of God's spiritual family. I'm going to challenge you a little bit. If you're not part of God's spiritual family, what spiritual family are you part of? You can say, oh, well, I just haven't made a decision. I'm not really part of anybody's family. But in Matthew 12:30, Jesus points out, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not in the family of God, if you're not following Jesus Christ, you are in opposition to what it is that God wants to do here on earth and in your life. Saying that you aren't choosing, you're playing into the devil's desires. He wants you to think that that's an okay place to be. It's not. It's not. We need to have been bought into what it is that God wants for us and be able to trust his son. Jesus continues, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Nobody responds to that, so the answer is no. If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you do not belong to God. It's our relationship, our trust and belief in who God is that even puts us in a place that we can experience that freedom. So let's do a quick review of that chart. We start out as non-believers. I don't know who Jesus is. At some point, we realize what the gospel is, that Jesus came and lived on this earth, died on the cross for our sins. Cooler yet, he rose from the dead 3 days later. And when I put my faith and trust in him, I'm transformed forever starting right now today. If you've never done that before, man, let's make today the day. Let's start moving up that chart because we want to experience this freedom that we can have. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that moves us from non-believer to believer. When that happens, the Bible says that we are adopted. We are adopted and automatically become children of God. We are no longer slaves. We are part of God's family. Now, we would like to be able to think that everything is hunky-dory and easy. Woo, yeah, I'm saved. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. After we become followers of Jesus, he wants us to be a follower of Jesus, and we become disciples. And we invest time into understanding what his word says, listening to his spirit that talks to us, hanging out with other Christians, and learning and growing to what it is that God, who God is, who we are, what our relationship is like, what is his plans, what is he doing. We can learn and grow in those things. As we do that, we start to are empowered with the knowledge and the Holy Spirit that we can start to address the things in our life that are getting into the way of our freedom. The sins that we carry around. That it's through being a disciple of Christ that we can identify what needs to change in us so that we can become the people God always wanted us to be, so that we can be free from the burdens that we've implemented on ourselves. And there's an enemy who doesn't want us to do that. There is the devil. He wants to keep us down further on that line. I'm letting you know today, freedom is available for those who want to pursue it. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And while they are, why don't you just take a thought about that chart. Where are you on that chart? Is there something that God might be tugging on your heart for you to be able to move on that chart? Is there a thing that he's been whispering? It's time for us to address this. Let's do that today. Let's take this week and figure out where we are on that chart and ask God, what do I need to do to be able to experience the freedom that Jesus is offering me? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you don't just leave us here. You didn't just spin all this off and are hoping that we make the best of it. You are connected and involved in who we are and what it is that's going on in our lives, and you care about us and you love us. And you want us to be able to have that freedom, that joy, to be able to be overflowing with hope for ourselves and the people around us. But for us to be able to do that, it's not just a magical thing. It doesn't happen by itself. It requires some effort on our part in investing into what our discipleship is. Lord, I pray that you would just talk to each heart that's here and help us to be able to see where it is you need us to move and the things that we might need to change today. In Jesus' name, amen.